8:35, and glad you are on board for something that has become one of my favorite segments that we do around here. We want to say good morning to our good friends, Karen and Marsha from over at Oak Leaf Village in Lexington. It's time for the Positive Points on Aging. And ladies, thank you for coming on in. I'm really sorry that I'm not there with you, but didn't feel so hot today and didn't think it was very appropriate to come in if I'm not feeling so hot. These days, you got to be really careful about stuff like that. So I was just trying to be extra, extra careful.
I thought that maybe you were over cranky because you said that you weren't getting much sleep lately.
Well, I didn't get any sleep the night before, and I was talking about that earlier on the air this morning, how you had said to me, what do we need to, if you're going to be a bear and cranky, what do we need to bring you? And I was talking, Marsha, about that. So, no, I had a good night's sleep last night. I just also had 101.9 fever to go with it. So I just decided until I'm fever-free, I'm not going to come into the studios.
We appreciate that, Kevin, but I hope you feel better soon. That's not fun.
No, it's not fun, but I'm fine. No big deal. Everything is cool. But I want to dive into things here with you guys, and we have some good things to talk about, and I really appreciate that both of you are there to talk. Hope everything is going great over at Oak Leaf Village for everybody.
It's going great. We've got our second vaccines in the residence, and there were no major side effects, and everybody's looking forward to maybe opening up some more down the road.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes. Yeah,
hopefully that's good, because, boy, again, you know, I went to go see my cousin Bob and saw him on Sunday, and I was able to go in. Now, we're still only able to go to a designated spot,
right?
And it's still only 15 minutes, and it's still only two members of the family allowed to see him. But I will tell you, I said to him, you know, how are you? And he's like, oh, you know, they treat me great here, and I love it, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, but it's still a prison.
Yeah.
And I mean, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. And he's like, I had asked them, and they're like, well, you can take him out. But if you do that, he's going to have to stay in his room and be quarantined.
And quarantine again. Yep. That's driving everybody crazy.
Terrible.
Exactly. It is.
So hopefully this will, again, with the vaccines, hopefully everybody will be a little bit more safe. The numbers on our COVID update this morning were excellent. So things are trending in the right direction. We're just keeping our fingers crossed for sure on all of that. Because we need to.
Yeah, we do. And today, though, we do want to talk about medications. And I'm going to turn this over to Marsha and let her start this conversation because she is more educated, I would say, in this field than I am.
Are you saying I'm a user?
Yeah. No, let's not go there.
Yeah, we want to talk about medications because not only for our seniors, but for ourselves. We really need to be paying attention to what we're putting in our bodies. Do we need to be taking it? When should we be taking it? But the thing is that what we want to talk about, Kevin, is that we know that medications are important. We know they have a reason. But what happens in today's world, even with the technology we have, that doctors should be able to keep up with each other in regards to what they're prescribing for their patients, sometimes they often do not. Right. And that ends up a medication issue, which we call polypharmacy. And we're going to talk about that later, about when there's multitudes of medications for the same diagnosis, but no one's really paying attention to it, and the amount of money it costs and the side effects it can have on our seniors, we need to really be paying attention. We're going to talk about seven common medication-related problems within our aging adults, and then we're going to go back and digest and dissect each one and then talk about what we can do about it. But I want to list the seven medication issues, and then, like I said, we're going to go back. The first one is side effects affecting thinking and balance. Then the second one is symptoms that persist even though you're taking a drug. Why are my symptoms getting better if I continue to take this drug? Number three is drug interactions. A lot of us have issues, low tolerance with medications, and so we have to understand also, if we're taking an herbal supplement, how it can affect with another prescribed medication. The fourth one is side effects due to a strong effect of drugs on the older person. Then we have another issue, which is the burden and scheduling of medication. If a doctor's saying you have to take this medication every 4 hours, well, what if that person has some mild memory loss and they don't know every 4 hours?
That's scary.
The sixth one is, again, is the cost. Medications are pricey. even those on Medicare can end up having to pay a good lump sum if they're not careful. And seven, of course, is the polypharmacy. That's when you're taking too many meds, and those things need to be cut down. We see, Karen and I, when we're bringing people into Oakleaf, we see a lot of medications.
I was just using the example, Kevin. The other day we moved someone in, and they brought in a Tupperware container, a large Tupperware container of medication, and several of it was 4 or 5 years old.
Wow.
Nobody had been paying any attention, and a lot of it was medication that should have been destroyed through the pharmacy, that she shouldn't have even had it on her possession any longer. But nobody was paying attention, and everybody thought she was doing just fine taking her meds, and she knew exactly what her medications were. She just had a whole stockpile full of medications, and then you don't realize when you're taking one medication what your herbal supplements or what your even your food can affect what you're taking. Sure. So you have to be aware.
That's just sad, though. It's just a really sad story to hear that. I mean, and it's not a lack of love. It's not.
No.
I'm not blaming family members or saying that you're not doing your job as a son or daughter. You know, you're trusting that she or he is on the right meds and all that. But it's just sad because, again, we are a very over-medicated society.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In my opinion. You know, we take too many meds and we get prescribed too quickly. And the thing that I ran into with my mom several years ago was too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many doctors prescribing meds to fit this, to fit that, instead of all of these doctors talking to one another and saying, we really don't need that because she's on this.
Well, and
that's
kind of what happened to this person. Is she had a cardiologist or this doctor and a primary care doctor. And again, she was very astute. There's nothing, she did not have dementia. She knew what her medications were. She just never thought about the fact that she probably shouldn't be taking 3 heart meds. She didn't know. She just trusts her doctor to do what's best
exactly.
for her. And she was spending a small fortune on her medications.
And that's the other part of it.
I wanted to share from a personal experience, and this is why this is so important, and I hope other people take it to heart. My mother had a dual diagnosis of severe depression and dementia. And she was a very smart woman, educated. She didn't take any other medications at all. And so this is how smart she was. Benadryl made her feel better. It made her relax. So she called one pharmacist and she said, how many Benadryl can I take in a day? And he told her. She called another pharmacist. By the end of the time that we found out, she had talked to 4 pharmacists who all gave her permission to take 4 to 6 Benadryl a day. So by the time we got her to the behavioral health hospital, my mother was taking 16 Benadryl a day.
I can't believe she
That's
was awake.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then she was would have an issue with her stomach. So she would take Metamucil and she would hide it like an alcoholic. We found in so many places because we kept saying, Mom, you don't need that. You don't need that. Well, she was going to prove to us that she did.
Yep.
She also would go to convenience stores and buy these sleep aids.
Oh, my God.
Which is Benadryl, by the way. It's an antihistamine.
But I'm just saying we're talking, we think our parents have it all together sometimes, and we did. This was, this was quite an experience because when I finally got my mother admitted into a behavioral health to get her cleaned out, I took a trash bag, and literally I found a trash bag full of Metamucil and Benadryl and everything I could, and I threw it away so we could start clean. But let's go back and let's talk about the side effects affecting thinking and balance. You know, some of us take meds for overactive bladder, itching, allergy. Here we go, Benadryl again.
Right.
It's commonly used. It's an over-the-counter. It's easy to get a hold of. But we have to think about what it's going to do as a side effect in regards to when you see the sign that says, do not drive a car, it's drowsy, that type of thing.
Yeah, people need to, and then what you're talking about with over-medicating on stuff like that, that's when you get into a danger zone for sure. Well, hold tight for us, team, because we'll do a quick break. We'll get you the Fox Business Report, and then we're coming right back. We got Marcia and Karen from Oakleaf Village hanging out with us, the Positive Points on Aging, and today we're talking about meds as we continue on The Point.
Mornings with Kev. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back in on The Point. Thank you for being with us on our Positive Points of Aging. Kev, Brian, and of course, our dynamic duo of Marsha and Karen from over at Oakleaf Village joining us here every Tuesday at 8:35 as we talk about our seniors and try to give you a little bit of guidance, some advice, and things like that. Jeremy and Courtney coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with the Home Advocates. But right now, let's get back to what we were talking about here with meds and get back to a little bit about what we were talking about on some of the things. I just think that is it a situation, ladies, where it's just it's not neglect, but if you're not like for example, with my mom, it was a situation where I didn't realize. You know, you look at the doctors and you think of, you almost put them on a pedestal.
Absolutely.
And you think, okay, well, they know their stuff. You know, the plumber is the plumber. The doctor is the doctor. You know, they know their stuff. So why would I question it?
Well, and I think
that's the problem.
Excuse me, Kev. I think the other thing is that we think that all the doctors nowadays are interlinked with internet and talking to each other and paying attention because all of us have our stuff online. I mean, you can go pull up your medical charts and your results from your tests. So why can't the doctor? But oftentimes doctors don't have time to do that. They're seeing so many people throughout the day. They don't keep up with how many meds you're taking. And we tell people, you know, when we send people out, we send them with a list of the medications that they're on and how often they're taking it. And if you're not astute enough to do that, doctors probably aren't looking at what somebody else has prescribed. And that's a huge problem. And it's not that you don't trust your family member or love them any less. It's just that you're kind of relying on the professionals to do something.
And think about this. You know, we can monitor our residents' medications.
Right.
When they have a fall, when they go out, like you said, we provide that information. But someone coming from their own home and they fall and the ambulance is called, they don't have time to sit there and go, well, what meds are you on, please? Because we need to send that in before we get there.
And they don't go wandering through their bathrooms and scooping up their meds. Unless there's a family member there to do it for them, they're not going to do that.
So you need to, there's a program out there, the fire department actually does it, where they bring you these large pill boxes, and you write down your medications all in there, and you put it in the refrigerator, and then you put the sticker on the refrigerator, which is very helpful if you're living on your own as a senior, and that way you have that at least as a standby. What I wanted to get into, because we're still on number one about the side effects, is that when we're talking about taking sedatives and tranquilizers, we have to be so very careful about the long-lasting effects. And when I say long-lasting, I mean into the next day. I've known people that have told me that when they've taken Ambien, that they have memory loss.
Right.
It really affects them that way. They're very dizzy. They bump into things, and I mean with cars. They don't remember.
Yeah, and there are medications that they tell seniors that they shouldn't be taking, too, and that's something else that you may not be aware of, is that the side effects that these drugs that you could take at 40 might affect you a little differently when you hit 60, so you need to be aware of that. You know, oftentimes people get diagnosed with dementia, and it's really just the medications that they've been taking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of scary when you think about it, because when you stop taking meds and you start pulling people off some of the drugs that they've been taking, and all of a sudden their mind starts to clear up because they have been taking too much of something. I'm a person who, honestly, I can't take a lot of medications because it does make me confused and tired and a little loopy the next day.
Well, and another thing is that, you know, when we have our morning meetings at Oakleaf, if someone's had some behavior issues, you know, we're talking about what kind of meds they should be on. However, we always say, but it's going to make them fall.
Right. And you have to be aware of that.
There's a stronger fall risk. And like I said, the difference of when you're living in a place that you're being monitored all the time versus when you're living at home by yourself, you have to have things in place that will help you to, as like a life alert, so that if you do fall, that somebody's going to be there and you're not going to be laying there for three more days. The number two one is symptoms persisting despite drug treatment. You really have to be proactive on this in regards to, you know, if it ain't working, doc, you got to help me. There's got to be something else out there. And sometimes it can be an over-the-counter medication that they can take.
Right.
It's just, we need to discuss these things with our doctors. Don't be afraid to show them something that you've ordered online and saying, what do you think? You know, you think this will be helpful.
Well, here's a question I had for you when it comes to these meds and all that. And some, I don't know if this is different because of when someone's living at a long-term care facility, in the case of something like Oakleaf or other places, that versus if someone's still in their own home. But I mean, is it realistic to say, hey, I'm a son, I want to schedule some time to talk to my mother's doctor about all the meds she's on?
You absolutely should. And I don't care whether she's at home or at a long-term care facility. We have one doctor that every time he sees a resident, he picks up the phone and calls a family member and talks to him about it.
Right.
Because the worst thing you can do is just assume that the doctor's doing what he's supposed to do. You're also supposed to have care plans when you're in a long-term care facility. We have every 6 months, if not more often, you have a care plan with the nurse and the executive director, and they should be able to talk to you about the medications that your family member's taking. You should have a medical list that you can check back and make sure that they're getting what they're supposed to be getting. Everybody needs an advocate. I don't care if you're 6 or 106. You need somebody to be there for you to help you along this journey. I know Lainey helps you. I help my husband. I mean, we're a team, and that's why you have teamwork.
And it's at a certain point in your life, though, even at your age where you're independent, you still need to know what your husband's taking and why he's taking it in the event of emergency. I want to throw this out there. This is what I tell people when I teach a class called Sharp Fit Brains. I tell them your pharmacist should become your best friend.
Yep.
Because your pharmacist can sit down and talk with you in a longer setting than sometimes doctors can. They have your medication list right in front of you. They can really help you on deciding maybe this one could be cut out. Let's talk to your doctor about this. So I tell people, if you really are concerned, you should go to your pharmacist, make an appointment, 15 minutes. They'll sit down, they'll go through all your medications with you and tell you what you might be able to get rid of.
And if they won't, find another pharmacy, because there are a lot of good ones out there that will help you. I know that our pharmacist is in our back pocket.
And, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about with symptoms that don't go away.
Sure.
Think about times when your loved one's been in the hospital. Okay, they're tied up to IVs, and then they leave and they have a med list, and they get that filled. And then they get home and they look at their other meds that they're taking, and so they start mixing those meds.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're not really sure, should I continue to take this one because it's not working? I mean, you know, when you're in the hospital, it's a totally different setting of what those meds might be doing for you, because you're getting them through an IV. You're not getting them orally.
Orally, yeah.
And so the effect of it, the way you're taking it, can be different and it will feel different. And then that's when you need to talk to your doctor and say, look, this just isn't working.
Right. And that's the thing is, again, I don't mean that you need to be disrespectful to your doctors or anything like that, but you have every right in the world to say, please explain this to me like I'm a third grader. Why is she, why is he, why is my mom, why is my dad on this? What is the purpose of this? And don't be afraid to ask, because, I mean, it's your mom. You don't get a second chance.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Ladies, great job as always. How can people find you over at Oakleaf Village?
803-808-3477.
Wonderful. The Positive Points on Aging. Karen and Marcia doing a great job helping us with our seniors. Ladies, I really appreciate it. Thank you for that. Jeremy and Courtney coming up after top of the hour news. Mick Mulvaney today live at 4:05 on The Point.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia W264DF.
From the BART Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter.
This is 107 The Point.